Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. Today, we're talking to the Duval County Supervisor of Elections, Mike Hogan. We're talking about the upcoming elections. When are they? August 28th is the first one, but what about the general election? How important is it for you to get out and vote? Who are you actually voting for? We're answering those questions today on Hot Topics. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julie, and pleasure to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a very important topic. We have a couple of elections coming up.
We got some major elections coming up.
Yeah.
We sure do.
Tell me about it.
Well, the first one is the primary. It'd be on August 28th. And today we've already sent out, as a result of federal law, the UACAVA ballots. That's the military and overseas citizens. So that must go 45 days before Election Day. So we're in the throes of the election already. The domestic ballots will go out 30 days before Election Day, and then we'll have early voting 2 weeks before Election Day. So for us, everything is stand at attention and start marching.
Yeah, it's really starting to ramp up now. Yeah.
It is.
When we talk about early voting, you said it starts 2 weeks ahead of time. I know my listeners here on Hot 99.5, they're very interested in early voting. How does early voting work?
Early voting allows a voter to go to one of our 18 sites around the county and vote their ballot. They'll be given, we call it ballot on demand. Instead of going to a precinct, which you would have to do on Election Day, you can vote at any of those 18 sites. Most of them are libraries, and it has become very popular. In the presidential election in 16, we went well above 50% had voted earlier or by mail. So Election Day is getting smaller as far as turnout. But folks are really they really like that early voting.
Why do you believe early voting is so popular?
Well, it's more convenient. You can just stop in on your way to work or on the way home. You've got two full weeks. You get it over with and don't have to worry about maybe some unexpected event on Election Day. So I think that's probably the reason.
You mentioned, I believe this a little bit, they don't have to go to the precinct that they're assigned to. They can go to any site, and it'll be okay.
Any of those 18 sites, they'll be able to vote because, again, it's a ballot on demand. So, for instance, in the election we got coming up in August, there are 400-plus ballot styles. Those are peculiar to that district, to that precinct. There are, like, for instance, if we only had Republicans, Democrats, that's two times 199 precincts. That'd be almost 400 ballots right there. So the ballot on demand allows you to vote anywhere. You don't have to be at your precinct, and that's one of the keys to early voting.
But I know Florida does have a closed primary, right?
That's correct.
But tell me, what exactly does that mean? Help my listeners understand
that.
Okay.
A closed primary is where the two major parties are, they have candidates that are running, and you can only vote in that race based on the party affiliation of the candidate. So Republicans will have a ballot, will just have Republicans candidates on that ballot. Democrats will just have Democrats on that ballot. Now, both will have candidates for nonpartisan races. So that occurs too. And I think we may have a Libertarian ballot this time. I'm not sure. I should know by now, but I know we were talking about it, but I can't remember going back to that issue. But that would be separate if they because of closed primary. Florida is one of 14 states that has closed primaries, and we've had a closed primary system since 1913. So it's nothing new, but one of the reasons that it's it causes some angst to people because Florida is a state that receives a lot of newcomers and new visitors and new residents, and they're coming from other states, and that's not what they're used to.
Yeah, and so you said one of 14 states,
yes.
Definitely not in the majority. So
that's correct.
They don't understand. Well, that's good for our listeners to understand that. It also would make sense that now's the time, if they possibly wanted to change their party affiliation, that they really need to do so.
Yes, the books close for the August 28th election on July 30th, and they would have to do that before July 30th. Good thing is, they can now accomplish that online. You can change your party affiliation, change your name, change your address, register to vote online.
Okay, so when did that all take effect?
That took effect at the end of September in 2017. And there was a lot of publicity about it at the time, but the state has not kept that up. And we try to publicize it and push it everywhere we can because it's so convenient to be able to do that from your home.
Yeah, it seems like it probably would take a matter of no more than 10 minutes to go online and put in your information and press send.
That's right. Exactly. It's just a few questions. The form itself, the registration form itself, is not that extensive.
People do a lot of things online. Some of them are kind of nefarious. So how is it that you make sure that that person is who they say they are?
Well, when the person goes online to register to vote, immediately they are, and I'm not a IT tech or a geek by any stretch of the imagination, but while they're entering, they're layered over that is the DMV information about that individual. So as soon as they put something that's not right, then because you have to be a member of this, a resident of the state, then it'll kick it out. So it's actually more secure than walking in my office, because when they walk in my office to register, they fill out the form, and it's kind of like an IRS form. It's you're stating that's all true, but I don't do any investigation about what you claim. Now, the state, when they receive the document, they vet it and make sure that the Social Security number is accurate and the driver's license number is accurate and that kind of thing. But this does it automatically.
Now, let's talk about voting by mail. How exactly does that work?
Well, first of all, the citizen would have to ask. And vote by mail has had a long history. First, it was called absentee ballot. You were going to be out of the country or out of the city or out of the state or whatever, and you had to write and get permission. And you had to give a reason as to why you wanted that ballot. Now, all that's changed now. If you want a mail ballot, we'll send you one. In Duval County, we'll pay for the return postage. Some counties don't pay the return postage. And so you get your ballot, it's sent to your home. You're able to fill it out at your leisure. You can, especially when we're talking about the general election with all these amendments, you can study each one and take a little time. And then place it back in the envelope and send it to us. The key, however, is when you vote on election day or early voting, we ask for identification. Your identification for voting by mail is your signature that we have on file. So as we get older, sometimes our signature changes a little bit. So you want to, on a regular basis, update your signature with us. So that your ballot won't be rejected because the signature doesn't match the signature on file.
I never even thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a process for that. The canvassing board, I have a staff. They will look at the signature on the ballot, and they'll look at the signature on file. If it looks fine, we just send it on through to the counter, if you will, the tabulator. If they don't think it matches, then it goes to a manager who's had some training in signature verification, and he or she will look at it. If they approve it, it goes to the tabulator. If they don't, it goes to the canvassing board, and that's a three-member board, and the canvassing board will look at those two signatures and decide whether or not that signature is accurate. It takes two to approve it or two to reject it. Last year, the legislature modified that law a little bit, and we're giving the vote-by-mail ballot voter an extra chance, if you will. So if the signature comes in and we believe it's mismatched, we send a notice to the mail ballot voter and say, your signature doesn't match. You're going to need to fill out this affidavit and send it back into us. So it's a curing opportunity to get that ballot to count. Most of the problems that we see are folks that have had some type of injury or illness, and the hand's shaky, and But a lot of people just changed completely their signature. I'm seeing more and more signatures that what I call and what the judge calls icons. It's just a group of scribbles. There's no letter that you can see in there at all. But that group of scribbles, if that's what we have on file, then that's what we'll go by as a match.
That's the way mine looks, so I can't really talk about that one.
Yeah, more and more people are writing like doctors, I think.
Yes, without the degree, I tell you.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
How are you guys getting ready for August 28th?
Well, for the last month and a half, we've been training poll workers, so we'll have about 2,000 poll workers in our 199 precincts. We're also gearing up for our call center. All the calls will, instead of being downtown where our people are really into the election, they'll be going to specialists that will be able to handle the calls from our voters, getting answers to all types of questions. Where's my precinct? And when is the election day? And can I vote in it? Why is it closed? And all those things. We train them and we bring them back. Fortunately, we have a group that continues to come back with us. And they're a team. We know each other. It's great. All kudos to the poll workers. It's a tough job, especially election day. Think about it. They get there around 6 and they don't go home until about 8. That's a long day.
That is.
It's a very long day. And they can't leave the building, so they have to bring their meals there and they have to eat wherever their precinct is.
Why can't they leave?
You don't want anybody leaving. That's a security issue.
So how many registered voters do we have in Duval County?
Registered voters, a little over 600,000. We're the sixth largest county in registered voters in Florida. There's 67 counties.
How important is it to vote in the upcoming election? Because if we think about it, of course, presidential years are usually the big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how important is it to vote in the midterms?
Well, number one, I think local government is the government that touches you most. And I think you should certainly, that's where the turnout should be the highest. You have an opportunity to know the candidates, reach out and touch them, and see them every day, all through the year. And so I'm amazed that it's just a reverse, but some people only vote in the presidential election. And it shows in the turnout. We're expecting anywhere from 30 to 35% because this does have a governor's race, it has a senator's race, it has House races, state Senate races, judges, of course, all these amendments, but they won't see those until the general. So it's a pretty important election. The folks that are going to be elected in August and in November is going to have significant impact on you as a citizen.
On election day, let's say I walk into my precinct. I chose not to go an early vote. I walk into my precinct and my information on my ID doesn't match. What happens? Let's say my address is wrong.
We can change your address in the field, and that's not going to be difficult. But we always will give a person a chance, and that is a provisional ballot. So if they don't have the proper ID, they will vote by a provisional ballot. It's put in a different envelope. It doesn't go to the tabulator. It goes to the canvassing board that I spoke to you about earlier. And then they verify whether or not this was indeed a registered voter in the right precinct. And then that ballot would then be counted. If it wasn't, the signatures didn't match, the address was not correct, they were at the wrong precinct, then that ballot would not count. But they will get that chance.
You will have a chance to vote even if the information doesn't match up right.
We've had folks just demanding to vote. There weren't a Republican, and there were only Republicans on the ballot, and they were not given a ballot that had Republicans on it, and they wanted that ballot and demanded that ballot. And but it's a closed primary, and they were not a registered Republican, so they couldn't get a Republican ballot. So there are all kinds of different issues that we see peppering elections.
Oh, those poll workers that you just talked about, they definitely go through something.
One of their key ingredients or characteristics is patience.
Yeah, we all need to learn some of that, so I can definitely understand. You know, something that I looked at this past weekend was all those amendments.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I know it doesn't come up until the general election, but let's talk about this. How many amendments are there?
The total of 13 amendments on there, 8 from the Constitutional Revision Commission, 3 from the legislature, and 2 by the citizens, by citizen petition. So, yeah, and the most difficult thing I personally have trouble with is the amendments are restricted to 75 words. You can't get the whole message out in 75 words on some of this stuff. And so that's why it's important that the voter spend some time looking over those amendments. Don't walk in on election day, get your ballot, and walk into one of those booths and start reading. You're going to be frustrated by that because it's going to be very difficult to make a decision. One of the other issues in this particular set of amendments is that most of the time you see their single subject. There are amendments this time that have 2 and 3 subjects. One is a little bit bothersome to me because I like 2 of the issues, but I don't like the 3rd issue. So now, do I throw both of all of them out, or do I accept the bad one with the good? I don't know. So that's got a little bit different as well.
So that's something, that's the reason why you said that people really need to, they need to do this research before they get
absolutely
ready to vote.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some evaluations by newspapers and all kinds of groups. The voter just has to be aware that there may be some bias. It's going to be very difficult to find someone that is just absolutely, totally neutral on an issue. My office can't share anything because we can't do anything that might look like we are favoring one or the other.
The Constitutional Revision Commission.
Right.
Okay, tell me about that commission.
Well, it's required in the Constitution. There are, I think it's 35 members. I wish I had all my data in front of me. Actually, I served on one. There's another Constitution commission. It's called the Taxation and Budget Reform Commission. I served on it in 2008. It won't come back up until 2028. We had the same powers, except we were only one subject per amendment, and we only looked at budgets and monies, taxation, that type of thing. This group is able to look at the entire Constitution and issues all statewide and are able to present the amendment directly to the people. They don't have to get the signatures. They don't have to get the blessings of the legislature. The committee is appointed by the governor, the secretary of, the governor, the Speaker of the House, the Senate president, and a Supreme Court justice. And I'm pretty certain it's 35 members. I'm sorry, I didn't bring my cheat sheet with me. And those members then they have been meeting. They've had town hall meetings, if you will, throughout the state. And then they come up with what they believe should be presented to the people.
So let's say that I am someone that I definitely need to. One thing you're suggesting that we go through those amendments and we take a look at them, really do our research about them. Where do I get that information? Is it available on your website?
We will direct you to various sources, but no, we can't give an explanation. All we can do is print it just as it came to us.
Whenever I'm doing my research, I'll also have a sample ballot, right, that you've mailed to me, or can I go online to get that?
Yes to both your questions. We will mail that approximately 2 weeks before early voting starts, the sample ballot. We're required by law to post it in newspapers, so that's even before that date, I believe. And then you can see it online on our website. We'll put it up there immediately, and you can go to their website and see it.
Okay, so there's really no reason for someone to say, I didn't know about these amendments until I got here.
That's right. Those citizens that have requested and have a email address on file, they can ask, and we will email them their sample ballot.
Okay, so everything really can be totally electronic,
yes,
if I'd like.
Absolutely.
We've covered a lot of topics. We've talked about early voting. We've also talked about the upcoming election, the primary election. Mm-hmm. That date, again, is August 28th. What is the date for the general election?
November 6th. We are in what we call our Super Bowl year of elections as it relates to beyond the standard calendar year, because we have an election in August. We have an election in November. And then we have city elections in March and May. So that's four elections in less than a year. And so we're going to be very busy. And each election, the state requires that all poll workers are trained for 4 hours. So we got to go through the entire training session four times in less than a year.
Even if the person has already worked the previous election, which was obviously just a couple of months
before each election. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
So that's time consuming. And that's why I say, you know, I have the utmost respect for those folks. My mother was a poll worker. She served for 38 years. And they're great people. They're great Americans. They are paid. But, you know, for the amount of work they do and they all love it. They love it's almost a passion for them about politics and serving their community. So it's a great deal.
Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything else that you need my listeners to know about the upcoming elections?
No, just I think we've covered it, Julia. It make sure they're prepared. There's a lot of sources out there, from the sample ballot to our website. It has everything that they're going to need to know. In fact, if you go to our website, you can put in, you can link on voter information, and it'll take you to your exact precinct and give you a picture of it and even a map on how to get there, directions on how to get to there. We will have a few, I think it's 9 precincts that'll be different than they were in the past. We lose 1 or 2. 7 or 8, 9, every once in a while, people sell a building, church no longer is under the same pastor and different rules. And so, but we prepare for that two ways. One, we stay in contact year-round with our precinct contacts. And on election day, if we've had to move a precinct, we will have 2 people at the former site with maps to the new location if people drive up, so we give them directions on how to get to the proper precinct. And we also send out notices to the voters when their precinct has changed. And we do that before the election. So everything is geared to giving the voter as much information as possible.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Julie. Enjoyed it.
If you're looking for a link to your supervisor of elections office, all you got to do is go to our website, myhot995.com, and click on Hot Cares. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.